the really cool thing about my job is that we distribute over 96 cents on every dollar we earn in investments in Wisconsin communities are then distributed to Wisconsin public school libraries. And this year generated $35.5 million in school aid. These go to the public school library systems. That's enough money to put a book in the hand of every child in Wisconsin. So we have an impact across the state from our investments and by returning to Wisconsin school, public school libraries, the earnings on those investments. So it's a pretty cool story. And in terms of our land, almost all of it is in northeastern Wisconsin. Most of it is managed for sustainable timber production. And the revenue we generate on those lands is deposited in the school trust funds. And so it's a pretty diverse array of duties, and it's exciting to be a part of something that has such a broad reach and impact on Wisconsin citizens. And furthermore, we do all of this on program revenue. Not a penny of taxpayer dollars is used to fund our operations. And so it's a pretty cool story. We've been doing this work, or the board has been doing this work for over 164 years, as envisioned by our founding fathers when they established the board in the state constitution at the time of statehood.
So, Tia, you're still talking in the present tense. It's you're leaving the board in good shape. Was it a tough decision to decide to leave?
Well, yes and no. It's been a really wonderful experience. So on my 10th anniversary, around the time I was reaching my 10th anniversary, I started to think about what my next work challenge might be. I felt like I'd done everything I could at the agency to contribute to it and how we did our work. And there were a number of reforms that we implemented during my tenure. And so I was looking for a new challenge long before the most recent controversy. Suffice to say, the election brought me a challenge dealing with the new board and the controversies that surrounded that. But it is certainly with mixed emotions. I've got the best team in state government. We have the honor and privilege of every day being presented with the opportunity to help Wisconsin communities through our trust fund loan program, through our investments in Wisconsin communities, and through distributing to the public school libraries the earnings on our investments. And it's been it's just been a wonderful, really rewarding experience. I've got a great team, and I've enjoyed the heck out of it. So it's with a certain amount of mixed emotion because it's been a wonderful job. On the other hand, I was ready for a new challenge and a new opportunity in work, and I'm really excited to have that now as I go to work as a program manager for the Outrider Foundation. And we're going to be developing a new project on science and education that I'm extremely excited about. And so it was a good time to leave, and I have a great opportunity in front of me, so I'm excited.
Tell me a little more about the organization you're going to be working with.
Well, the Outrider Foundation is a family foundation that was established by a Madisonian named Frank Burgess, and Frank wants to take the foundation in a new direction, setting out to develop a new project focused on science and education and providing science-based research and education to inform discussion on serious challenges that face our people and our planet. And I'll be joined in the effort by Tara Drozdenko as we seek to, in essence, build something from the ground up.
So a huge, exciting new challenge, sort of brand new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the challenges of working under the current administration. Obviously, in the last few months, global climate change was an issue that was just splashed across the press. State Treasurer Matt Adamczyk said no talk, no work on this stuff on company time. And though you've said what I've read is that that's not the reason you are leaving the board, talk about the impact.
Yeah. So here's a guy whose first official act as an elected official was to seek to remove my name from agency stationery, order me to unsubscribe from the New York Times, and prohibit me and BCPL staff from saying the words climate change. So draw your own conclusions. I would simply observe that denying that humans have an impact on climate change is a little like denying that I'm inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide while I'm speaking to you. If you burn fossil fuels, they emit carbon dioxide, which accumulates in the atmosphere. It acts like a blanket and warms the planet. This is a knowable, observable, measurable thing. So denying the science is just simply unconstructive. We should be having a debate about what to do about the challenges that climate change poses for society. And that's a very legitimate debate to have. And I think really that's where we should be focused. But to attempt to prohibit a conversation about one of the greatest challenges facing us today, to me, is irresponsible.
Yet this atmosphere that you were working under, particularly over these last few months, really was not the decision that pushed you over to say, I'm looking for a new challenge for myself.
No, honestly, it wasn't. And keep in mind that the board came back and modified the original motion that prohibited us from answering emails or discussing climate change on work time.
Right.
The state treasurer continued to be opposed, but the attorney general went back, to his credit, revisited the wording of the resolution, and joined the secretary of state in modifying it to simply say that BCPL staff could not engage in policy advocacy on climate change during work time. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's appropriate. We shouldn't be engaged in any policy advocacy that doesn't have the board's blessing. So I didn't have any problem with that after they came back and revised it. And that was the right thing to do. And I commend the Secretary of State and the Attorney General for doing it. But honestly, the biggest impact it had is I probably wouldn't have had this job opportunity had it not been for this controversy about what was going on at the agency. And as I said, honestly, I, around the time of my 10-year anniversary here at the agency, had begun to look around for other work challenges and opportunities. And I just happened to be fortunate enough to be offered a great new job as a consequence of the attention this controversy brought to the issue and to me.
So throughout your career, Tia, you've worked internationally. You told me in a previous conversation that you faced your share of pushback, let's say. You talked about a previous job in which conservationists weren't too pleased with what you were doing. You're used to facing a situation that may be less than perfect.
Yeah, my previous work on climate change was to manage a $50 million portfolio of investments from industry, largely utility companies. Utility companies, who I might add, are not denying climate change, nor are they denying their role in it or the need to take actions to mitigate climate change. And I was working with some of those companies on climate change strategies, both to mitigate CO2 emissions through changes and improvements in forestry practices and land use practices. And it was a really exciting place to be. I reject the proposition that clean air and clean water and addressing big environmental threats of our time is a partisan issue. And there are many companies and many individuals of all political stripes who recognize the imperative of protecting our environment, recognize the quality of life issues that are associated with protecting the environment, both for this and future generations. And my work has always been with folks of a diversity of political views, and I've done a lot of work with industry. And my work at Nature Conservancy is a particular example of that, and I was extremely proud of it. I think we've got to put aside this idea of industry and environmentalism being at cross purposes. We certainly need fair regulations to ensure clean air and clean water, but we also need to work in partnership with industry on market-based solutions to our environmental challenges, and I think we can do that. It's exciting if you look at what's happening in the private sector. They're certainly taking the lead as our politicians lag behind.
You told me, too, in a previous conversation, you were eager to get back to Madison, to come back to Wisconsin, that you care about the city, the state. Are you concerned about the state?
Yeah, I am. I'm concerned about the efforts of some to defund science. To me, this is irresponsible in the extreme. We've got to have good science informing sound public policy. So some of what's happened in the budget in terms of eliminating science positions at the DNR is very disconcerting, and it should be disconcerting to all of Wisconsin's citizens.
So when do you start your new job?
I'll start August 1st part-time, and I'm going up to the Apostle Islands next week, you know, which to me is the most magical place in the world, and it's such a neat legacy to my testament to my father's work. You know, it's worth reflecting for a moment on that particular effort to protect the Apostle Islands took over 7 years, and I don't know, probably a dozen bill drafts. It's a great testament to committing to a good idea and staying at it in spite of many obstacles. And I love going up there. As you probably know, a portion of it is now the Gaylord Nelson Wilderness Area.
Right.
Signed into law, I might add, by George W. Bush. And so it'll be a very nice tonic for me to go up to the Apostle Islands and paddle around in my kayak and having time to tend my garden and nurtured the friends and family who have nurtured me these last 6 months.
So you're feeling, you talked about your great team that you're working with there, have worked with. It's going to be bittersweet leaving them, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Though, you know, I wasn't going to leave this agency until our budget was passed intact and we had figured out how to expand our investment authority to help ensure that we'll continue to grow monies for the schools into the future. I wanted to finish my performance review, and in my performance review, our goals for the coming year, I wanted to ensure that the team was left in the best position possible to continue to be successful going forward. And I feel like I've done that. That's why the timing of my departure seems right to me.